I want to talk to you about, because that's what's been burning in my heart this week for my own life. I've just refocusing on this. And this is something I remember right away. I got born again when I was 17. And I for me, my experience, I got born again. It was an instant power encounter with God. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I'd never felt the presence of God ever in my life before. And all of a sudden, even though I'd been raised in church, and I could tell you the gospel, I'd memorized Bible verses and Awana programs, all of a sudden I had this encounter with God, and I taste and I experience that the Lord is good. And I fell head over heels in love in a moment. It was love at first sight with me and Jesus. I just felt his presence. And I was like, oh, you love me. You're real. I love you. And I instantly had two brand new dominating desires that came into my heart that didn't exist 30 minutes before. And they were, God, I want to be close to you. I want to feel you like this all the time for the rest of my life. I never wanted to stop. And the second thing, I was like, I just want to please you. And it wasn't just, I want to please you because I'm afraid of going to hell. That is a good motivating reason. It's biblical, and I don't want to go to hell. So I want to please God. But it was more like, you're my papa, you love me, and you're watching me, and I want to make you a proud papa. I want to run my race before the eyes of my Father in heaven and have him cheer me on and be proud because I'm giving him my very best. And I remember that began a journey with me. So I came in suddenly to this relationship with the Lord, and I remember I started learning how to practice the presence of God throughout my life. And I started learning how to have a devotion time every day where I'd read the Bible and I'd pray. But even more than that, just as I'd go throughout my day, I would learn how to do that. I remember driving in my car, and I was listening to horrible, in retrospect, I look back now, it was really demonic music, like very demonic music. But I'd be jamming to it, you know, because God hadn't dealt with that part of my life yet. I didn't realize what I was doing fully. And I'm just jamming out, and then all of a sudden I just listening to that, and I feel like I want to feel the presence of God again like I do in church. So I'd turn the music off, and I'd start singing the one or two songs I remembered from youth group, just the worship songs in my car. I'd start praying in tongues in my car, and I'd feel the presence of the Lord in my car, driving along, just like I did in church. And I thought, this is so cool. This relationship with God, it's not just like once a week, maybe twice if I go to a midweek service, I can feel God. It's like this relationship is always, it's continual, it's forever. And I began learning how to practice the presence of God. And as I did, I noticed that my inner life began to change. Instead of where before, I used to be brokenhearted a lot. Sometimes, you know, I'd be brokenhearted. I would be filled with lust. All kinds of fear was a huge one for me. Just lots of toxic weeds that were in my soul. But as I began reading the Word of God and then choosing to believe and practice what I read in the Bible, and then practicing the presence of the Lord as a lifestyle, you know what happened to some of those negative vices that were inside of me? They started to go away, and they got replaced by things like love and joy. And when I think of a prosperous soul, I want you to imagine your heart as a garden. And it's a garden that it's primarily for God's pleasure. That's how I view my heart. This, my number one goal in life is to make him the most happy, proud papa that could ever exist. And the way that I do that, it's not just by if I go and do a lot of crazy exploits, then he's proud of me. He loves me. He sees me through the eyes of Jesus. But I'm like, I want to cherish and value his word and his presence so much that I make it the sole focus of my life. I remember after I had another encounter several years later, I went to a revival and had this major blast of the Holy Spirit, just fresh encounter with God. And I treasured that. And I remember practicing. I was a custodian. It's my second favorite job I've ever had. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd be such a happy custodian. I love that job. Because to me, I don't care that much about money, to be honest with you. I don't really care that much about prestige of some kind of job or position that people respect. I don't really care that much. Because you know, what people think is what they think. What I care about is enjoying God and pleasing God as a lifestyle. And the cool thing about being a custodian, I didn't have to think about what I was doing hardly at all. It's just, you know, mix the chemicals together, and then after that, you just wash the floors. You know, that's what I did for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. And I loved it. I could get lost in the presence of God. I'd just be doing the floors. I'd be in these empty classrooms in my college singing, I want to be closer, Lord, to you. And I'd have four-hour conversations with the Holy Spirit. I would come home energized, so on fire for God, and then it just spill over many times into my evening. I'd get home, and I'd get out the grape juice and the crackers and do communion and just turn on the worship music. It was so good. But you know what? During that season, all these good things are growing in me, like righteousness, peace, joy, things like faith getting stronger, hope getting stronger, love getting stronger inside of me through the Holy Spirit. That's a prosperous soul. And I know that I have not got to the point in my life where I've lived in that place, that sweet spot of life where I am just in perfect harmony with the Spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Haven't got there yet, all the time. But you know what? I'm getting better because I've been practicing this for 23 years now. And I have learned some things. And my goal in life, I'm like, God, I want a prosperous soul. I want the weeds out. I don't want my thought life dominated by thoughts that aren't in your head. And most people live that way. Most people live stewing about the thing they don't like that's happening in society. And then they watch news about it all the time. And they watch television shows about it all the time. And they have their mind and their heart focused on that because your heart follows where you set your mind on. Always, 100% of the time. Whatever you set your eyes on and you give your attention to is what I'm talking about. That is what's going to flood your heart. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have what? Life. And that they may have it more abundantly. Everybody say abundantly. Okay, this is abundant life. This is what Jesus died to give us. And can I tell you something? You don't wait until you die to start experiencing it. It starts now. There are aspects of this abundant life that we have to hold on for, like living in a resurrected body. It's not going to come now, no matter how much faith you have. You got to wait till Jesus returns. That's when the resurrection takes place. You know, there's like perfect peace and justice in all nations, in every society, on and on and on. There's things that we're going to have to wait for. But the communion with the Spirit, getting free from inner vices, having a thought life and an inner life that is dominated by joy and hope and righteousness, waking up excited to take on the day. Oh, I love that. I love, like, I go to bed and I'm like, I can't wait to get up in the morning. Like, I'm excited about my morning. And sometimes this is true. I'm so excited about the next morning, I have a hard time falling asleep because my adrenaline gets going. This is really true. This happens a lot of times. I'm laying in bed. I'm like, oh, I can't wait. I'm going to get up tomorrow. I'm going to have a great time with the Lord in the morning. And I'm so excited. And then I'm too excited and I can't fall asleep. And it's like midnight. Everybody else is asleep. I'm going, oh, man, Lord, help me to fall asleep so I can actually get up and have to spend time with you. But that's a good way to live. I want to live that way. Isaiah 58:11. Listen to this. I was meditating on this week. The Lord, listen to this promise. This is for you. Everybody say, this is for me. Okay, anybody can have this. I use my illustration because I know my story better than anybody else's. But anybody can have this. You can be in the worst place imaginable right now with God in your inner life. You could be like, oh, I used to be good. I'm in a horrible place now. I've just gotten away from doing the things I need to do. And there's so many weeds in my garden. It doesn't matter. You can start wherever you're at. Wherever you're at, you do a few simple things that I'm going to give you right now. You do a few simple things and just stick with it. And you won't do them perfectly. But then you just repent. You say, I'm going after it again. And you stick with it over the course of several months, over the course of a year. A year from now, the garden of your heart can be bursting with life. It says, the Lord will guide you continually. That's how I want to live. Giving you water when you are dry. Come on, Lord. And restoring your strength. Listen to this prophecy I prophesy this over myself. You will be like a well-watered garden. That's how I want my heart to look. Like an ever-flowing spring. Isn't that beautiful? How many of you want your inner life to be like a well-watered garden? Now just imagine Jesus walking through my soul, so to speak, the garden in my soul. And I want there to be lush green grass. I want there to be a nice river flowing called the Holy Spirit, just flowing like a fountain from within me. And he's just like, oh, I love this place. I want him to look over here and there's fruit, beautiful fruit, beautiful fruit. No weeds anywhere he looks. I want to be like that, a well-watered garden. That's how I want my inner life to be on a daily basis. But then it says here, when your heart is a well-watered garden, you'll also be like an ever-flowing spring. If you want to impact people in the most profound way imaginable, make the focus of your life a prosperous soul. You get your heart to be a prosperous soul. You're so full of the Word of God that it just, the joy of the Lord, because you're thinking on the Lord, the hope of eternity and a relationship with God, because you're living in it every single day. Then when people get around you, it's the first thing that pops out. Boom, life just spills over like an ever-flowing fountain. And people say, I want that. I want that. You know what? You can tell a lot of times, you can tell what people are spending their time thinking about. Because often in a conversation, it's one of the first things that will pop up. You get around people and it's just like, boom, they start talking right away about sports this, sports, 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 sports. It's like, okay, I know what they like. I know how they're spending a good portion of their time. Or they get around, they talk about complaining about this person, complaining about this person, complaining about this person. I know how they're spending a good portion of their thought life. They're meditating on these poisonous, bitter thoughts that are just toxic. It's like, oh, that's a horrible way to live. You know, I don't want to go there. Just let's forgive. Let's work through it and keep my heart alive like a well-watered garden. Or you can tell, like, they talk about politics, 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 politics. Well, okay, I know what they're spending a good deal of their time reading and following. You know what I want? I want people to get around me, and I want the Word of God just to come gushing out. Filled with love and excitement. Do you know what I read today? That you can't. You can try to fake that a little bit. You know what I mean? And I don't really care at all about faking it. I want it to be real. That's my point. I don't hit this all the time. I just this week, I'm refocusing, actually, is what's happening. The Holy Spirit's stirring me. I'm meditating on these verses I'm about to read to you. And I'm just like, God, I'm going after this. This is my life. This is my dream right here. And I refocus for 23 years. This has been my dream. And I haven't done it perfectly, but the Holy Spirit has been gracious. He always refocuses me. I get out of sync for just a little bit. I can't live without his presence. Honestly, I can't. I mean, I'm miserable. I get really, I don't even like myself when I'm not encountering the Lord very much. I really don't. I'm like, I can't get away from this river. I got to stay where the river is because I like who I am when I'm drinking from this fountain. But when I'm drinking from other stuff and I'm neglecting the fountain of life, the presence of the Lord, I'm like, I don't even like myself. I don't even enjoy being with me at all. So here's how to cultivate a prosperous soul. It's really simple. Write these three things down. Are you ready? Number one, you have to be born again. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing. Life doesn't come from just within ourselves. It comes from God. He is the fountainhead. He is the source of life. This isn't like inner peace, and you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, no matter how deep you dig into your soul, you're only going to find darkness. Does that make sense? You got to be born again through faith in what Jesus did. He's God's son. He died on the cross to open a way for your sins to be forgiven. That's the barrier that separates from you from God, so that you and God can be reunited in love again. His heart is on fire with love for you, and he can ignite yours with fiery love for himself. And if you'll say, oh, that's for me. I want to know God like that. I'll follow Jesus. Holy Spirit will come inside of you and whew, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. That's what happens. You get born again. You get the Holy Spirit in you. That's where you start. Second, but I know people who are born again. They have the Holy Spirit living in them, but there's so many weeds. They it's like it's choking out the fountain. Have you ever had, you know, if you take a hose and you plug it with dirt, that thing's flowing and maybe a drip will come through. There's way more water that's flowing through that hose than that's coming out on the other end because it's clogged up. Does that make sense? But if you unclog, if you get the mud out of there, whoosh, oh man, look at all this water. And so the second thing we need to do is pull the weeds. Pull the weeds in the garden of your heart. This is a lifestyle. You're never going to finish with this. Okay? I mean, this is like, we do this for the rest of our lives. You know, I think this, if you take a natural garden and you want something, the plants you like, you want them to prosper and get all the nutrients that are in that soil, right? But if you let weeds fill that thing and you got 100 weeds and run rose bush, that rose bush is going to be diminished and it won't fulfill its full potential because so many of the nutrients and the moisture in the soil and even the sunlight is being absorbed by the weeds that you don't want to grow. I don't think it's fair. Doesn't it seem like weeds grow faster than the good plants? It does seem like that. What you got to do is you go out there and you pull the weeds. But you know, you don't go out there in June, on June 1st, you pull the weeds and say, I'm done. No, because you come out July 1st and it's filled with weeds again. But if you stay on top of it, it's a big job if you wait. But if you stay on top of it every day, if you just go out there and spend a few minutes and pull the fresh weeds that have just popped up, you're going to have a strong, healthy plant that you like growing. And it's really not that difficult if you just stay on top of it on a daily basis. I hope you're getting these illustrations. So here's the weeds that are in the garden of heart. Here's what I mean by that. You ready? The weeds that grow in our heart are wrong attitudes. Wrong attitudes. Wrong thoughts. So you're thinking about a situation or you're thinking about a person or a group of people in a way that is opposite of how God is seeing them. If you'll agree with the way he thinks about them, life and love will flow through your soul. But if you're thinking in a way that's contrary, darkness will flow in your soul in that area. So wrong attitudes, wrong thoughts, and wrong beliefs. These are like just we believe things that are contrary to what God says is true. Number three, how to cultivate a prosperous soul is you feed the good seed in your heart. You feed it. Weed and feed. You get the Holy Spirit, number one. You get born again. Then you got to pull the weeds. You got to constantly just address the wrong attitudes. And the Holy Spirit helps you do, by the way. The Word of God helps you do it. It identifies wrong things. That is so many times, one of the greatest benefits of reading the Bible every day is this. For me, I read it and it constantly realigns my heart with truth, constantly. I'll be reading along and I'll see something and I'll be like, ooh, thanks for that reminder, Lord. It's not like I didn't know this most of the time, but I needed to be reminded that pride is death. So Lord, and an area of my life gets exposed. And I like it when he does that for me because he never does it to condemn me. He's my coach. He is going after my goal just as aggressively as I am, if not more. He wants to present me spotless before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. He wants me to receive my full reward and rejoice with him forever in it. Feed the good seed in your heart by meditating on God's word and living in fellowship with the Spirit. That's how we feed the good stuff. I'm going to look at a couple scriptures. Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to look at two scriptures. Isaiah 55 and Psalm 1. Isaiah 55 is this ultimate picture, it's this prophetic picture of an invitation to the abundant life, a prosperous soul. So God says, ho, everybody say ho.
Ho.
All right, it's Christmas time. Ho, 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 ho. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. This is God speaking to you, to me. He's like, are you thirsty? How would you like to wake up and not have to fight through constant bombarding thoughts of despair, hopelessness, fear, worry, anxiety, anger? I'm a loser. I'm never going to be great in God. I'm never going to have a prosperous soul. Wrong thoughts. Those aren't the Holy Spirit. Get them out of there. And God says, are you thirsty for a prosperous soul? He says, here's what you do. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine. I think of that as the Holy Spirit. And milk, I think of that as the Word of God. Without money and without price. And then he says this. This is a good question. So I want to meditate on this for a little bit. You guys ready? So he's inviting us to come and drink of the abundant life. And then he asks this really penetrating question. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? I was reading this one time, and this I was just meditating on this, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, it's this principle of like, God's like, I have bread that will satisfy you. I have wine, drink, that will satisfy you abundantly. So why are you spending your money buying bread that doesn't even fill you up? It doesn't even satisfy you. Why are you spending your money? You're going to other sources and you're drinking and eating from those things and it leaves you empty and starving inside. Why don't you come to me and get the real thing? See, and I remember the Holy Spirit, he spoke this to me when I read this one time. He's like, Jeff, why do you spend your time, your energy, resources, and your thought life on things that don't satisfy? You're spending your thought life on something. You're always thinking something. So you can set your thoughts on God's thoughts, and a prosperous soul is the result. Or you can set your thoughts on the politics, the sports, the things that you don't like that aren't happening the way you want them to in society. You can set your mind on that and meditate on that and have bitterness, anger, hatred, fears, frustration boiling within you. It's like, why? God's like, I got an idea. You're going to be spending your thoughts anyway. Why not instead set those things aside, the weeds, and set your thoughts on my words? Listen to the result. Listen carefully to me. That's what you need to do. Why are you spending yourself on these things that don't even satisfy you? I think of worldly entertainment. I mean, hours watching worldly entertainment, hours working to acquire more stuff, or researching, you know, I don't want to nitpick too much. All the time and the energy we spent on how to find the perfect something that I really want to buy. And we spend hours and hours just researching the internet, you know, to try to find the perfect deal. And it's, that's between you and the Lord. But just for me, I'm like, I don't want to be consumed with that stuff. I'd rather spend my time and my thought life on things that satisfy. I want to spend my money on things that, my resources on things that satisfy. And this is what you do. He says, God's like, this is what I suggest. Listen carefully to me. And eat what is good. Listen to this. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Come on. How many of you want to do that? Or do you just want to say, soul, today, I'm your best friend. You're going to feast on the good life today. I'm going to think about God's words. I'm going to set my mind on his thoughts. I got to keep going. I love this. Next verse. Incline your ear. You know what that means? Turn your attention toward God. That's what that means. When it says incline your ear, just everybody look at me real quick. I know everybody's writing. It's like, You're like, you're trying really, like somebody's speaking and I can't quite hear what they're saying, but I'm going to incline my ear. What is that again? I'm turning my attention, full focus. I'm looking at their lips. I want to get every word of what they're saying. God's like, listen to my voice and turn your attention to me. Tune in to what I'm saying because I am speaking. So listen to me and your soul will delight itself in abundance. He says, come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. That's a prosperous soul. Then it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. This is the ingredients for how to restore a prosperous soul. Because what happens is life happens to us sometimes, and we get out of whack. We start listening to other things. We don't listen to God like we should. And we catch ourselves out here, and it's like, wait a minute. I'm not experiencing the good life like I was on the inside. Lord's like, ingredients, this is what you need to do. Tune out the wrong stuff. Incline your ear. Seek me while I may be found. You know what that means? God's like, I'm right here. Sometimes we get out there and we're like, I'm lost. How do I get back to the abundant life? He's like, well, I'm right here. I'm right here. You wandered away from me, but I kind of shadowed you. Because I love you and I knew you weren't going to be able to find your way back. So I'm shadowing you. I'm right here. Just turn around, incline your ear to my voice, and I'm going to guide you back into the river. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Then you call upon him, you seek him. If you're doing wicked things, stop doing them. That's weeds, right? You stop doing wicked things. And then he says, and forsake your unrighteous thoughts. The bad thoughts that you've been stewing on that produces the bad stuff on the inside, stop thinking on those things. Get rid of those thoughts and exchange them for God's thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and listen to this promise, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is just so eager to restore us. He doesn't get mad like, this is the 100th time you've strayed from the river. Come on, dude. Like, I've been straying for 23 years, but I always go back. I always go back. To me, when I think of a whole life of serving the Lord, I just think of, I aim at this, and when I get off, I re-aim. I repent and I re-aim. I'm going for a prosperous soul. I'm not just going to settle in and say, forget it. This is who I am and just become a carnal Christian. Like, no, thank you. Are you kidding? There's a prosperous soul that's available for me and I'm just going to live in a desert? Are you kidding? No way. I am going into the abundant life. This is available to us. Oh, I love this. Listen to verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. This isn't God. I don't see this as, a lot of times we quote this passage as God stating how much bigger and smarter and wiser he is. He's like, I'm so beyond you. There's no way you could possibly figure out what I'm, I don't think that's what he's saying here at all. I think he's addressing the problem is what he's doing. It's like, you don't have a prosperous soul. You're tuning into the wrong stuff. You should be listening to me. Exchange your unrighteous thoughts for my righteous thoughts. He's like, here's the problem. Your thoughts aren't my thoughts right now, and they should be. You're operating in a way of doing things right now that is contrary to my ways. That's the problem. So what you need to do is just realign. Drop the doing things your way. Do things my way. Drop thinking on the things that aren't healthy. Start thinking on the thoughts that I'm speaking out. And then that prosperous soul, that river in your soul starts flowing again. Then he says, listen to this, verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there. This is a famous verse we quote all the time, but in context, listen to what it's saying. But they water the earth and make it bring forth and bud. This is a prosperous soul he's talking about. Then he says, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. What is the purpose in this context that he's sending it? Prosperous soul. He's like, this really works. If you'll exchange the wrong thoughts and start meditating on my words, I promise you it will accomplish the purpose I sent it forth. That prosperous soul will show up. Now, it's important for us to believe this promise. God has to say things like this because we're so prone sometimes to unbelief. You know, it's like the first day, okay, I've been spending the last month of my life on wrong thinking mode, and I don't like it. I'm getting back to the abundant life, and we refocus on the Lord, but you do that for a day, and sometimes that first day or two, it just feels exhausting because you've sown all these seeds. It's like, how many know pulling the weeds after a bunch of neglect? It's a lot of work. And sometimes you're like, man, I keep not going to think on this, but then it comes back and I have to not think it and not think it over and over again. God's like, just keep going. Do not become weary in well-doing. He who sows to the, you will reap what you sow. God will not be mocked. He who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life. That's what God says in Galatians 6. That's what he's saying here. He's like, just keep resetting your mind on my word. Keep weeding out the wrong thoughts. I know it's a struggle maybe for a few days. Keep doing it because that word has power in it. It's supernatural power in my words. You get your mind set on my words, life will start flowing in your soul. And you may not see it the first day or two. You may. But even if you don't, just stick with it. Weed the garden. Feed the garden with the right stuff. My word will produce that abundant life in your soul. Stick with it. Does that make sense? Okay, you guys doing okay? For you shall, oh man, what a picture here. Verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led out. What a prophetic, dramatic, prophetic picture of a person. This is what life is like with a prosperous soul. And be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. The hills are alive. Have you ever seen that movie? Oh, with the sound of music. I mean, that's honestly, that's what it's like. That's what it's like when your heart is lined up with God and joy and promises and hope is abounding in your soul. And you go outside and I'm just happy. And something negative can happen out here. Something negative can happen out here. But guess what? There's this refuge. There's a refuge in my soul that becomes stormproof. And in that refuge, I'm with the Lord like, I love you. The hills are alive. God is good. God reigns forevermore. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, just a prophetic picture of the soul, I like to think. Instead of the thorn, the weed, shall come up the cypress tree, something that's good and profitable in your soul. Instead of the briar, shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So the last scripture I want to look at is Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Oh, I was really enjoying this one this week. This is one of my go-to scriptures. As you walk with the Lord and stay in his word, you're going to have real estate in the word of God that you own. It's your inheritance. Really, the whole thing is yours. All of it. But there's going to be certain fields in the word of God, the certain sections that you're like, oh, I know this field. I have places with the Lord. I go back to them and I remember the encounters I've had there. And actually, I'll have these conversations. I go back to Midland, to the farm where Autumn's parents live. And I go into the basement of one of the houses there where I lived the summer we got married. And I had a season of an encounter with the Lord, so much intimacy. And I still, to this day, almost every single time I walk into that basement, my mind goes right back to the encounters I have with the Lord, that season of my life. And I'll talk to him. Sometimes I just go down there. I just get nostalgic with him. And I just go down there and I say, oh, remember this. This is our spot. When I go back to Alabama, sometimes I'll take my kids and my wife and we go to the church building that I got saved in. I have my first encounter with God. And I'll look, because I can't go in anymore because it belongs to a school now. It got sold. But I look in the room and I'm like, that's the spot. That's our spot. Remember, that was our first encounter. Remember that. And I had these places, my office. I go into my office, my chair. That's a good spot. And there's places in the Word that are like that. Psalm 1 is one of those places for me. When I need to refocus on what matters most in life, Psalm 1 is one of the places I go. John 15 is another. But Psalm 1, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. Right here, he's talking about a prosperous soul, but he gives us three vices to avoid. These are three weeds that you just want to, you see this thing pop up, even the smallest little weed form of it, you attack it, you spray poison all over that thing and watch it die in front of your face. No mercy. Number one, do not follow the counsel, the advice of the wicked. I see so many believers, they listen to the counsel of the wicked and buy into it more than they read or listen to the word of God and buy into it. They listen to talk radio. They watch the news. They read all these articles. And they're just tuning in to the counsel of the wicked, the counsel of the world. And they buy into that worldview. And they're passionate about it. And I'm like, you know, I don't really care about that. You know what I want? I want to tune into the word. I want to buy into his worldview. I want to see as he sees from his perspective. And then I'll have hope and joy and righteousness. I'll be equipped to do what God wants me to do in this season of my life. So don't listen to the advice of the wicked. Don't stand around with sinners. That means don't participate in sinful activities along with everybody else. Okay? So you don't want to do that. Those are vices to avoid. And number three is do not sit in the seat of mockers. Or join in with the mockers, it says. And you know, when I think of mockers, it's popular to be a complainer. Really. In our world, at least in our society, you know what's really popular? They actually think you're smart if you do this. If you're really skeptical and you're really cynical, they think, oh, that person, you can't dupe them. You can't dupe them. They're not gullible. Because they're really cynical, and they're really they're slow to believe. They're really, really skeptical. It's like, I don't want to be like that. I'm not going to sit in the seat of unbelief and mock and say, oh, that can't be, that can't be, that can't be. You know what I want? I want the opposite of this is a childlike faith, a heart of childlike wonder and childlike faith. When I hear a story of some grandiose testimony and miracle, I want to be like, I don't want to be like, oh, whatever, God couldn't do that. Are you just trying to get attention? And, you know, that stuff happens. People do blow stuff up and exaggerate to get attention. But you know what? I want to be like, God could do that. I want to be, if I have to err, I want to err on the side of faith. And this is unbelief and cynicism and skepticism. It's a weed in the soul that chokes out the life. And so we want to avoid that. But here's two habits to embrace. And he says, but they delight in the law of the Lord. That's the word of God. And they meditate on it day and night. Two different things. So first of all, they delight in God's word. To delight in God's word, it's like, I delight in your word. Your words are so wise. Your words are so life-giving. I love your words. One word spoken from your mouth is worth $1 million to me. And I'll just cherish it. I'll treasure it. I'll think about it. I'll meditate on it. This is wisdom. This is truth. This produces life. I delight in your words. When you speak to me, it makes me so happy. I'm delighting that I got to hear your voice again. Every time you read the Bible, every single time you read the Bible, you could stop and say, oh, I just heard your voice again. Wow, I delight in your word. Thank you, Lord. And the second thing, and to delight in his word means I love it more than the advice of the wicked. I love it more than the ways of the world. I delight so much in your word, I am going to invest everything I am into it. I'm going to apply it. I'm going to obey it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to tell other people how wonderful it is. That's what it looks like to delight in the word of God. So we cultivate that attitude in our heart. And then this is the byproduct, we meditate on it day and night. Actually, I could reverse that and say, if you'll meditate on it day and night, you'll end up delighting in the word of God. It works both ways. Then it says, here's the results. The results of weeding the garden and feeding the heart the right things, meditating on the word, this will be the result of your life. You will be like a tree that's planted along the riverbank. How many of you want to be that? You know, a tree that's planted along the riverbank and its roots go down deep, it is a well-nourished tree. Now, I think of the riverbank as the Holy Spirit. I want to be planted in the Holy Spirit continually. Imagine the river of life in the New Jerusalem is this picture of the Holy Spirit. It flows, and the trees that are planted along this river, they bear a fresh crop every month. That's how fertile that water is and that soil is. They're planted right there, and they just popping out luscious fruit all the time. They never have a season when it's like they lose their leaf. They don't have a fall or a winter. These trees are nourished by supernatural life. There's constantly fruit and beautiful leaves that are coming from these trees. Actually, it says that their leaves are so powerful, they're actually used for the healing for the nations. What a prophetic picture of who we are called to be. Immersed, planted in the Holy Spirit, abundant life and fruit flourishing through us and bringing healing to the nations. And then it says, here it says, there you go, bearing fruit each season. Man, that's cool. That just worked out seamlessly. Listen to this, their leaves never wither. I want to be, you know, I meditate on that, and the prayer that comes up in my heart is, God, I don't want to become a has-been, ever. I don't ever want to get to this point in my life where I look back on the glory days when I used to meditate in your word day and night, when I used to encounter God and experience the Holy Spirit afresh, when God was moving in me and I was excited about God, and when I used to take risk and step out in faith and do and obey his word and see God come through. I don't want to ever get to a point in my life where I tell the stories from the glory days, but I don't have fresh stories. You know, I don't want to be the 80-year-old guy who's wearing my Letterman jacket from high school. I was awesome my junior year, and I got this interception, and I scored the winning touchdown, and everybody's like, cool, that's great. But I don't want to just be sitting here and tell you about, remember I had this prosperous soul, and I told you at the beginning, back when I first got saved and I had these encounters with the Lord, I want to tell you the encounter I had today, the encounter I had yesterday and earlier this week. I want to live in this place. I don't want my leaf to wither. I don't want to become a has-been. At one time, there was life. There was fruit abounding in your life, but now all you have left is stories of the good old days. I want massive amounts of stories from the good old days. You know, I still tell them they don't get old. I draw strength from them by remembering what God has done. Autumn talked about that earlier. But I want to have fresh encounters. And so how do I become a person who's like that? You do Psalm 1. You get the weeds out of your heart and you meditate and delight on the word of God. You do that as a lifestyle, that life will flow and this results will come. It says, and they prosper in all that they do. The NIV, I think, says, and whatever they put their hand to will prosper. You know why? Because when you're living that lifestyle, you're walking in the Spirit, you're not wasting your time putting your hand to things that God's not in. Because I don't really care about it. You know, to do that, I have to spend all these hours away from the river. I don't want to do that. But then God will tell you to do things, and to do that, that's right in the middle of the river. You know, when I'm spending time with my children, that's not time away from the Lord. That's holy activity that we do together. I do it with the Lord. It's holy. And whatever I put my hand to being a godly father, it will prosper. The life that's in me will flow through me and be imparted to my children. You know, if I have a job at work when I was a custodian, Well, I'm going to work. Working hard and being a good, diligent, honest work is holy work. That's godly. I don't do that apart from him. I don't leave the river to do that. I do that with him. And when I do it, I'm having these encounters. I had so many encounters with God as a custodian. And then even I would have encounters. People would come by. I'd get in conversations. And I mean, I had times the Holy Spirit would fall on me and another person in the hallway of our school just talking about the Lord. Because whatever we put our hand to will prosper. It will be blessed if we have this prosperous soul. Then it says, but not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the ungodly. There's a contrast here. That's what he's doing. He's like, there's the wicked and there's the righteous. This is how the righteous live. They delight in God's word. They don't get caught up in their thought and their emotions and this crazy stuff, worldly stuff. They keep a childlike faith. They feed their heart on the word of God. They produce fruit. They're super blessed. But in contrast, there's also the wicked. And they do live caught up in all this stuff. They're not born again. They don't have any life flowing within them. And there's no fruit. There's nothing good there. You know, right now, if you come and look at my garden, if you would have come look at it about 3 months ago, just tomatoes popping on. If you go now, they're just like pretty much dead plants that are there. Those have no value to me. You know what's going to happen to those things? They're going to be all pulled out and removed next year so we can plant ones that will bear life next year. That's what's going to happen. And then he says, I'll finish with this. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly. But the path of the wicked leads to destruction. But I want to focus on the first phrase. The Lord is watching over the path of the godly. When I think about this, as I meditate on this, I think this speaks of divine protection. When you set your heart on what matters most, and you cultivate that prosperous soul, the Lord says, oh, I'm watching and I've got your back. Nothing's going to sneak up on you and catch you off guard. Because I'm your rear guard. Something sneaks up on you from the back. I pick it off before you even knew it was there. There's this divine protection that we live under. I also think the Lord watches over. I think it speaks of divine guidance. He says, man, you set your heart to follow me and to have this prosperous soul. You chose, every person gets one life, and you get to choose what's your greatest treasure. And he looks and he says, well, when you choose me, God says, when you choose me as your greatest treasure, your fellowship, your connection with me, when that becomes your greatest treasure, oh, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to guide. I'm going to make things work in your favor all the time. I'm going to cover you. Even when you don't do something exactly right, you know, but you're doing your best, your heart's in the right place, I'm just going to make it work out good. I'm going to cause it to be blessed because the Lord is watching over the path of the godly. You can't go wrong if you make the Lord your treasure. You just can't go wrong. He'll see to it that you'll be blessed. But there's one other aspect when I think of the Lord watching over my path that makes me really happy. You know, the Bible says that our life is like a race that we run. And we're supposed to run in such a way as to get the prize. And I just think of children. You go down to the soccer field. You go to the Little League game. Almost any child. You go to the playground if their dad's there. And you know what? It's so cute. It's the funnest thing to watch. They'll be playing and, you know, every few minutes, every few seconds sometimes. They'll do like something. It's not even that big of a deal. But they'll just do it. And they'll be like, whew, they stop and they turn around and they look for daddy. Daddy, did you see that? Daddy, watch this. Did you see that, dad? Did you see that, dad? That's how I live. That's how I want to live before Papa. And I have this confidence. My dad's not, you know, one of those people, I don't have time to go to your games. He's watching over the path of the godly. I see my dad is looking at me. And I'm like, you know what? This is a different game. I grew up, my parents were divorced when I was 6. I was a baseball player. And my dad was my baseball coach. He's the one who taught me how to play baseball. It was our thing. It was our connection, one of our main connection points. And then my mom remarried. he was my baseball coach because he didn't have custody. He's like, I just want to be able to spend as much time as I can with my kids, so I'll just be their coach. Then at least I get to be with them at practice, you know, and every other weekend. And so he was a good dad. But then my mom got remarried, and we moved away to another state. And so I only got to see him for like 2 weeks a year after that and talk to him on the phone. But every once in a while, there were a few times when my dad would make the drive from Northern Oregon all the way down to the San Diego area, Southern California. And I remember one time in particular, he got there and it was a Little League game. I had a Little League game and my dad was there. There's only one person in the whole audience as far as I was concerned. I remember that game, everything I did. I was like, I'm going to play my best. My dad's here. My dad's going to watch me. And I played my heart out. I played my heart out. And of course, afterward, he was always so affirming. He'd be like, oh, that was great. You did so good. But you know what? When I'm living my life, I live with the awareness that Papa's watching me. I don't. That's not like, Daddy's watching you. You better not mess up. That's like, Daddy's watching me. Every little thing I do right, he's going to point it out to me. Every little thing I do right, he's going to be like, that was awesome, son. Be like, Daddy, did you see that? He's like, oh, I saw it. I saw it. That was awesome. This is the good life. It's like, I want to live like this with Papa. I want to live in this kind of a relationship with the Father. The prosperous soul. Every one of us can have this. You can be a total sinner, not living for God at all. And this is yours. If you want it, you can have it. Because God loves you. If you'll believe and follow Jesus, he'll forgive your sin, and he'll put the Spirit in you. Boom! Now you got a river of life inside. Now you just got to pull the weeds, and he'll help you do it. Pull the weeds and begin to feed the good seed. Feed your mind on the Word of God. And that life will flow. And I promise you, when someone in a household starts getting a prosperous soul, it affects everybody in that circle of influence. It spills over in the way you parent. It spills over in the way you relate to your spouse. Because you want to keep that soul alive and prosperous. Well, here's my conclusion. I'm just going to restate it. Here's how you get a prosperous soul. Same thing as three things I said earlier. You got to be born again and receive the Holy Spirit. That's where it comes from. Then you got to pull the weeds in the garden of your heart, wrong attitudes, wrong beliefs, wrong thoughts. And then you got to feed the good seed in your heart. And you do that by meditating on the Word and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. So wherever you're at, if you're like, man, I have a dull spirit right now, that's okay. Let's just start now. If you're like, I have a prosperous soul, keep it going. There's more. If you're like, I don't even know the Lord, that's okay. Get born again. You can know him, right? So why don't you stand with me? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer to give your life to Jesus in case you want to get saved. I recommend it. And then after that, we're going to pray and get filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're all going to speak in tongues. And so the other day, actually, this is pretty cool. So this is Wednesday afternoon. My phone rings. I'm in Midland. And it's Sarah Meisenberg. And she's like, hey, I'm just reading the first chapter of your book where I shared my testimony and you got filled with the Holy Spirit. She goes, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? She goes, is that the same or different than being baptized in water? And I was like, well, it's different. Baptism in water is a baptism of repentance. When you choose to follow Jesus, the baptism of Spirit, it's power. It's an empowerment from the Holy Spirit that strengthens you to live for God and be his witness. And she's like, I want that. She's like, how do I get it? I love her. She's so just practical. She's like, how do I do it? What do I got to do? I was like, well, I was in a hurry because I was changing clothes and I was about to, I promised my son for months that I'm about to take him out and go deer hunting and I got to do it. And so I'm going to give her a homework assignment is what I'm thinking. And I'll pray with her later. And because she was on the phone and I was like, well, just ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Just focus on his presence. And then when you feel ready, just by faith, start speaking out those syllables that God gives you. And she's just, I'm thinking, okay, bye. Tell me how it goes later. She's so hungry. She's like, I want this now. Like, no, I'm not waiting till later. And I a couple times tried to do the, just let me know how that goes. I give her the instructions, and she just starts, Father, doesn't even say I'm going to pray. She's just like, Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit right now. And then she goes, now what? What do I do now? I'm like, no, that's good. I was like, well, and so then I knew, like, she's not going to take no for an answer. She's just hungry. And I'm like, oh, okay, I like this. So I said, well, let's just do this. I'm just going to start speaking in tongues. We'll just take a couple minutes and pray together in the Holy Spirit. I'll start speaking in tongues. And when you feel ready, join me and just start speaking out the syllables. Just focus on his presence. By faith, start speaking out the syllables. And I encouraged her. I said, the mistake that people make is they think like the gift of tongues, like God takes over your tongue and your voice box, and he forces you, and you lose control, and he speaks all these words through you. But that's not the way any of the gifts of the Spirit work. Sometimes God does that for people, but it's rare. And I said, just like when God prompts your heart to go share the gospel with somebody, he doesn't take over your legs, walk you over there, you lose control, and he opens your mouth and starts speaking these awesome gospel messages through you. You're like, oh, I just have this impression that I should go do this. And then you go on your own accord, you obey the prompting, and you walk by faith, and you go over there, and you share the gospel, and sometimes it comes out great, sometimes not so great, but the Spirit's like, that's good. And then his power meets your obedience. And what ends up happening is then life comes, and somebody believes, and you're like, wow, that was really God. And it's the same way with other gifts of the Spirit. When you prophesy, when you lay hands on the sick to pray for healing, he doesn't grab your hand and put it on you. Same way when you're speaking in tongues. Okay, is you ask him for the gift, he gives it, and then by faith you just start speaking out the syllables. You feel that presence of the Lord, and you speak it out, and then his power meets you in that place of faith and obedience. Does that make sense? And so this is so cool. So we started praying on the phone, and then she starts boom just speaking in tongues, and we just do that for a couple minutes together. And she was so excited. She's like, "That's so cool! I'm so excited." She probably said it cooler than that, but she was really pumped up, and she was so excited about that, and I was just like, wow, that's beautiful. That's what we're going to do together. You guys ready? So first, salvation. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, I want I'm going to lead you in a prayer, but there's no magic words. Do you believe that Jesus is God's son? Do you believe he died on the cross to forgive your sins, and that he rose from the dead, and that if you'll follow him, he'll give you eternal life? If you think that's true, that's good. Now, are you willing to repent, turn away from your sin, and start following him? Let's pray. Say, Jesus, I believe you're God's son. All of my sin is completely forgiven because you died on the cross. You live forever. And if I follow you, I will live forever with you. I say yes. I make you the Lord of my life. From this moment forward, I follow you. I will incline my ear to hear your voice. And I will follow you. Holy Spirit, fill me. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to lead one more prayer. You ready? Just say, Father, Jesus promised that you would give us the Holy Spirit when we ask. So I ask you to fill me with, baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Give me the gift of speaking with other tongues. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to take a couple minutes. I'm not going to have, and we're just going to start singing in the Spirit, okay? How you sing in the Spirit is you speak in tongues, and you just put a tune to it, okay? It's the same as singing in English. I can talk like this, or I can talk like this. Either way, one is singing, one is talking. So we're going to sing because it sounds nice. Are you ready? So I'm going to start, and I just want you to, by faith, just say, Holy Spirit, fill me. His presence is going to fill you. And then just begin speaking out. Sora na namasi tomayava. Shangaile da na 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 Sombale mandi lele na 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 mamburi ne na malale manane Songabane mandi na 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 malale ne 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 Sovari la 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 So como na mama mala mama la bara bara bere bere bengo sava. Shakatara basi varia baba basio toruita ne me. Shuko baba le matire veku satare me suvaya. Malene mane ne ne mendorororo mulana na 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 na. Shabala mane ne mena mundo veri ambale mendorire ne. Sunga baye beluru mburya ya baba la baru ba la 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 Suko mo 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 ne Halele ne me 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 ma so va niende Saka ma ye bo thuria ye de 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 me ne Jaka ma la ba la 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 So ra ra la le 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 na na ma ne ne Elele me na. Okay, hold on. So that's what we do. We're going to do it again. But that's what it's like, okay? And so we're going to do it again. And I want to encourage you, just by faith, step out there. You don't have to wait till you feel anything. You don't have to wait till you feel anything. You just, by faith, you step into the river. Does that make sense? And so I want to encourage you to do that. You can do it quietly if you want. You can turn around and face the wall so nobody sees your lips moving. If you want to do that, that's cool. I get that. But I just want to encourage you, step out by faith and go for it. I try to make it a goal. One of the things I do is I pray in tongues probably more than I even pray in English. Often in my time with the Lord, I take the first 15 minutes and I just sing or pray in the Spirit. And I'll do that. I'll pray in tongues or sing in tongues for like 15 minutes and I just jumpstart my motor, so to speak. And oftentimes I feel nothing when I first start. You know, it's early in the morning, I'm still tired. And I don't feel anything, but I just start praying in the Spirit by faith because the Bible says that he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. I mean, you build up your own spirit, man. Your own connection with the Lord gets strengthened when you pray in the Spirit. And I'll actually say, I don't know what I'm saying right now, Holy Spirit, but you know what I'm saying. It's real words. I thank you for all the edification I'm receiving because of these prayers. You know what they are. And I thank you for all the glory you're going to receive because of these prayers. I thank you for all the good things that are happening in the kingdom because of these prayers. And I engage my faith. These are real prayers. These aren't just gibberish. This isn't just empty syllables. These are real words that the Spirit speaks through us. So I encourage you to engage your faith and just begin speaking out. Let's just do that again. Let's just take another minute and go for it again. Guri na 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 le 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 Zora na 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 So come on, amen. Dorre la 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 ma sheri ya ro dorre. Ambari ni no torre ma 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 le ne ne ne. So kuburri ta ye la ma shukava. So toro lo bredi avra bere bere be sukava redia. No sandale hele manzi la ma fare bebe thuria. La kila bata kaverit sbakasin. Lo shanna na mandane ne. Shuranda la 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 All right. I'm going to take one more crack at it in just a minute. But I want to encourage you. There's different kinds of tongues. This isn't the gift of tongues right now, where there needs to be an interpretation, where God is speaking a message, and then there has to be an interpretation for the body. This is the kind of tongue where our spirit is praying directly to God. This isn't a message from God to people that needs to be interpreted. This is our spirit praying and crying out to God. Does that make sense? We're all doing this together. And so I want to do this one more time. Father, we love you. Haleleman soko moninta. So ba da 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 We thank you for your words, which are life. Father, I just pray over myself. I pray over every person listening to this message. God, I pray that you would give us encounters with you, that we would taste and see that the Lord is good, that we would taste the good life of a prosperous soul, of fellowshipping with the Spirit, and God, that we would latch on to the lifestyle that accompanies it, and that we would weed the garden of our hearts and we would feed the garden of our hearts with the word of God, and that our souls would prosper, that you would delight in our hearts, that you would delight in us. Lord, we love you. We choose you as our treasure. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you, you can be seated. I encourage you to do this at home. Go home and do this. If you've never spoken in tongues before and you're like, man, I want that, go home, get alone, and just say, Holy Spirit, fill me, and just begin going for it. And it's a real gift. One of my favorite stories, I'm going to have Jesse come up in a sec. Actually, come up and stand here because it would discipline me. This story of Jackie Pullinger, you guys remember that story? It's Chasing the Dragon. She wrote this book called Chasing the Dragon. She's a single woman missionary in an area of Hong Kong called the Walled City. It was run by the mafia and drug lords. It was filled with drug labs and prostitution and brothels. And the police were afraid to go in there. They hardly ever would go in there in this area of the city. God sends this single white woman from England into this place. She goes there and, you know, she's just working and working and nothing's happening for a while. And then she meets another missionary who was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they prayed, and she's like, she heard all these testimonies of people speaking in tongues, and she thought, wow, this is amazing, you know, like this is in the Bible. And now you're telling me you've experienced this and others are experiencing this? Like, I want that. And they pray for her. And the Holy Spirit fills her, and she starts speaking out in this beautiful language, you know, this most beautiful language. She said, it was beautiful. I knew it was God. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I was speaking in tongues. She goes, but I was disappointed because I didn't feel that rush of emotion that I was expecting. Because when everybody else told their testimonies, they talk about how glorious it was and that rush of emotion. They just started weeping or laughing or the joy. I didn't feel any emotion, but I knew it was God. I just started speaking in that tongue. So she goes, so I was disappointed. I thought, I didn't get that rush of emotion, whatever. So she didn't speak in tongues. And she just kept doing her thing. And later on, this lady missionary, she's like, well, she tells her, she's like, yeah, I don't really do the speaking in tongues anymore. I just never use it because I didn't feel the emotion that everybody else feels. And the missionary rebuked her, this other missionary, and was like, listen, that's a gift from God. It doesn't matter if it was you felt the emotion or not. You know what I mean? If you received a gift from God, that's a good gift and you need to treasure it and use it. He gave it to you for a reason. And she was like, whoa, you're right. So she's like, okay, by faith, God, I'm going to set my alarm, or not my timer. Every day, I'm going to start off, I'm going to pray 15 minutes in tongues every day. And I may feel nothing. She'd literally by the clock, la, 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 la. And then 15 minutes, done. And she'd go on with her day. That's how it started. But you know what? She started doing that and all of a sudden stuff started happening. These divine encounters started happening. People would get saved. Drug addicts would come. And she'd pray and lead them to Jesus. And they could never get free from drugs. And she'd pray with them instantly. They would get filled with the Spirit. They'd start speaking in tongues. And she'd say, and she would meet with them. She goes, you got to repent of drugs. And they'd be like, I can't, you know, because the pain of withdrawal was so intense that oftentimes if you come off without medication, people sometimes would go insane. It was just such intense pain for 4 or 5 days. And then often, even after that 4 or 5 day period, people would still go back to it. And these people are like, I can't get free, even though I'm willing to repent, but I don't think I can. And she'd pray with them. She'd say, here's what you do. Every time you feel the slightest withdrawal pain, just the first hints of pain, start praying in tongues. And 100, they had hundreds of these cases. 100% of the time, every single time, these drug addicts, when they do that, they started feeling a little bit of withdrawal pain. They start praying in tongues, and the pain would instantly leave. 100% of the time, hundreds of cases, they had pain-free withdrawal from drugs. Breakthrough. Absolute breakthrough. This is a powerful gift of the Holy Spirit. And so my point that God really just stuck out to me in that story was the power of this gift, but it has to be used. And sometimes it's like, well, I don't feel anything. It's like, just, it's a gift. If God's given it to you, use it. You know what I mean? I believe everybody in the body of Christ can receive this gift. So, amen. All done. Jesse's going to come and speak a blessing over you.
What an awesome message again, every time. And I encourage you guys, when you go home, you know, talk to your kids about this praying in tongues too, because me and Peyton, we do it every night, and it's so powerful. And I find myself doing it when I make, like Joel Osteen said, when I'm making a cup of coffee, I find myself just, wudabakarashi. It's really good. I feel it in my spirit. I feel it's like it's joy. So, okay, Psalms 119, 1 through 2. Joyful are the people of integrity, who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search him with all their hearts. So can I have you stand? I'm going to pray this blessing into you guys. Father God, we thank you for this James River Church and the anointed messages that we receive. May the Lord bless you to be joyful because you are people of integrity who follow his instructions. May you be joyful because you obey his laws and search him with all of your heart. So, Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just receive your blessing now to last this next 7-6 days until we come back to church, but to use it every day and to encounter you, Lord, and to seek you just to fill us up. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have a good week.